The scripture this morning is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. Blessed be the sovereign God of Israel, who has looked favorably on the people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of God's servant David. As God spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered God's holy covenant, the oath that God swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before God all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before God to prepare God's ways, to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in night and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Thus ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here with us today, and we ask that you might give us a word that we need to hear and that we are able to hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. To give you some context here, the Gospel of Luke begins with the story of the angel Gabriel foretelling the miraculous birth of a baby destined for great things in the story of salvation. His birth was remarkable not because his mother was a virgin, but because she was postmenopausal, shall we say. Although Elizabeth and her husband, the priest Zechariah, had lived righteous lives, it looked as though they were to be denied the blessing of children of their own. Nevertheless, Zechariah had prayed from the depths of his heart as he offered incense in the inner sanctum of the temple. And as he finished his prayers, the angel Gabriel appeared to him to deliver some news. And here is what the angel Gabriel had to say to Zechariah. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord our God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of parents and their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Talk about an answer to prayer. Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a baby, a boy. And not just any baby boy, but a boy with a divine mission. A boy who would bring joy to many people, not just to his own family. Yet at this late date, Zechariah was apparently unable to accept that the answer to his prayers might actually be yes. And so instead of doing a happy dance or even fainting in shock, he questioned the angel, who seemed none too pleased about being challenged, even by a priest. Although as a priest, Zechariah probably should have known better than to question a messenger of God. At any rate, in response, Gabriel struck Zechariah speechless, and he spent the next 9 months in silence, which you can imagine gave Elizabeth lots of time to express her thoughts. Who knows how Elizabeth knew, but when the baby finally arrived, Elizabeth insisted, against popular opinion, that he would be named John rather than Zachariah after his father. And the old priest agreed. In fact, his speech was restored as he agreed. And as he holds his infant son in his arms in this morning's reading, he is so filled with the Holy Spirit that he can't help but burst out in praise for all that God has done for him and to look forward to all that God has yet to do. His prayer is called the Benedictus, which in Latin means blessing. One scholar has compared hymns like this one and Mary's Magnificat to songs in a Broadway musical, which tell a story and help us to understand exactly what it is that's going on. Surely each one of us here can relate on some level to Zachariah's joy, whether we think back to the birth of our own child, or the birth of a niece or a nephew, a grandchild or a godchild. There's nothing like it, especially when there have been fertility issues or other complications that made it seem like it just wasn't going to be possible. I have a good friend who gave birth to her first and only child on the eve of her own 40th birthday, and I can't help but believe that she and her husband felt much like Zachariah and Elizabeth did when they got the news about their pregnancy. Complications, old age or not, there are so many hopes and dreams, so much promise and possibility wrapped up in most babies' births. Newborns are so fresh and pure and innocent, untouched by the world's darkness and life's challenges. For them, virtually anything is possible. Their lives are blank slates waiting to be written upon. And so, although in those first weeks and months of life they don't do much more than eat and sleep, cry and soil their diapers, their mere presence can light up a room, eliciting smiles and warmed hearts all around, bonding the people who gather around to admire them. Do you all remember when Junior and his family first started coming here? I recall that there was a definite shift in this congregation in response to their presence, a little infusion of joy and light and hope. It's still here with us today. Of the two birth narratives that occur in the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, perhaps John's comes closest to the overall context of this congregation. By and large, we're not naive, inexperienced virgins like Mary. Like most congregations these days, we trend a little older and wiser than that. And so we probably have a lot more in common with seniors, Elizabeth and Zachariah, than with teenagers, Mary and Joseph. And with their offspring, too. We tend to think of ourselves here, at least, I don't want to put words in your mouths, but what I've heard you say, we tend to think of ourselves as odd ducks who wouldn't fit in anywhere but here. And not that either John the Baptist or Jesus were conformists by any means, but John, I mean, really, he hung out in the wilderness, he wore rough clothes, and he ate honey and insects. That's an odd duck. And probably, for you transition Cadillac folks, an organic duck as well. He'd fit in well here. And yet God worked through him and has been parents as well. Powerfully so. So what does Elizabeth's and Zachariah's story have to say to this congregation on this day? Whether we choose to interpret it in literal supernatural terms or metaphorically, what does it have to say to us? Is there new life waiting to be born here? Life that we can barely imagine and that we may feel like we just don't have the energy to carry in our real or metaphorical wombs for 9 whole months, let alone to labor and push out into the world, then nurture into maturity. And even if we do somehow manage to do all of that, what if it's weirder and more powerful than our wildest dreams would have led us to imagine? Would we, like Zechariah, eventually sing God's praises and eagerly anticipate the future? Or would we, like the earlier Zechariah, allow ourselves to settle back into a state of doubt, silence, and passivity? Probably every day of our lives, we encounter situations that call upon us to choose between new life and the same old, same old. And probably most of us will tend to opt for the same old, same old. It's comfortable. It's familiar. It doesn't force us to adjust or, heaven forbid, to change. Probably one of the furthest extremes of this scenario are folks who will choose the same thing on the menu every single time they go out to eat, probably at the same old restaurant. I imagine we have a few of those folks here, a few in every group. And indeed, there is something to be said for the tried and true, absolutely. No surprises can be a good thing. But then, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I've known some people who have vowed that every single day of their lives, they will do or learn something new. Not necessarily something major, and oftentimes something trivial or mundane, but one new thing nevertheless, and without fail. And you know, living out that promise seems to shape these folks in some pretty major ways. The people I have known who are like this tend to have an infectious curiosity, a sort of playful engagement and interest in life, and a flexibility and a courage to deal with whatever it is those new things bring to them, even if it's just a momentary sour taste in their mouths. They are receptive, prepared to expect the unexpected, and indeed, often they are pleasantly surprised by what they encounter. You know, this might not be a bad spiritual practice for us to take up in Advent, that is, doing or learning something new each day, but also at this stage in our lives together as church. With my departure now less than 2 months away, we're all gearing up for change here. None of us knows exactly what the future holds for us. Not that we ever do, but we can sort of hold on to that illusion, typically. But the advent of the unknown, it's that much more obvious when a known transition is on the horizon. And I imagine that the open and affirming vote on January 13th will also lead to some transformative change around here, whatever that winds up looking like. You know, even positive change, birth and rebirth, can be scary. It takes a long time to build up trust and understanding and ways of being together. And then to have to go back to that role of first-time parents again, to not know how to properly change a diaper or how to interpret the significance of each of the new baby's cries, to have to go through that process all over again. But you know what? It's how we bond, how we learn about one another and that new baby, and how we grow close and come to trust one another at deeper and deeper levels. It's how we experience the presence of God and the movement of the Holy Spirit among, between, and within one another. It's how we develop patience and tools and resources for nurturing the new baby and one another into spiritual and emotional maturity. It's why they say, trust the process. Now, mind you, even with birth, with rebirth and new life, there will continue to be parts of the process we don't care for. Things like stewardship. They may be about as palatable as pureed peas or spit up, winding up on our favorite outfit. But every last bit of it has potential, is an opportunity for learning and growth. Budgets, for instance, they are not just about dollars and cents, but about ministry potential. and opportunities to express the values and the mission of this particular congregation at this particular moment in time. Ways to prepare the way for the ongoing inbreaking of God's love and justice in this community and beyond. And that's some pretty powerful stuff, if you think about it. Let's face it. Let's embrace it. Let's sing it. Like Mary and Elizabeth before us, this congregation is pregnant with possibility. Now, I'd like you to join me in turning to page 733 of your hymnals and reading aloud Zechariah's song together. Blessed be the sovereign God of Israel, who has looked favorably on the people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of God's servant David. As God spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered God's holy covenant, the oath that God swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before God all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before God to prepare God's ways, to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of their sins. But the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high, will break on us to give light to those who sit in night and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen and amen.